Well, I'm glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for coming out and being a part of the conference this morning. We're certainly grateful that you are here. Thank you so much. I always enjoy coming here. Your preacher is one of my favorite men, and I enjoy talking to him. I feel like Brother Breedlove is one of those prayer warriors. If you only knew how much that they pray down around here, it's just a miracle. And I've been trying to get him to write an article on prayer. One of these days he's going to do it. I thought normally when a friend asks you to do something, it's a command. That's what I thought. But anyway, not trying to put any pressure on you at all. But what a great prayer warrior, and I'm glad to be here with you. I have to tell you the story. Did you turn me down? Scott, first of all, you drive me around the airport 20 times. Now you're turning me down. That's not very wise. You know, you take his brain, put it on a razor blade, look like a BB rolling down a four-lane highway. I have to tell you the story. Many of you know that I'm afraid of snakes. I'm deathly afraid of snakes. And we were three weeks ago, my wife and I were in the car. We were going somewhere, and we have in our area black snakes, and of course all snakes are poisonous snakes to me. I don't care what it is, I don't care how small it is, how big it is, they're all poisonous. And I wish God had called me to Hawaii. They say there's no snakes in Hawaii. I've asked God to call me there, but he won't send me. And my wife calls me up on a I saw the snake across the road, and I see those things, and I act like almost like a little girl. I mean, it's sad. I mean, I see a snake, and I just, you know, almost going to convulsion. She says, "Honey, calm down. It's outside." She next day calls me up. She's out of breath. She's nervous. I can hear it in her voice. I said, "Sandy, is everything okay?" She said, "Honey," she said, "there's been a snake. There was a snake outside the garage crawling up the side of the house," and she said, "I had to kill it." I said, "Thank God." Could you imagine me, Evangelist Alan Domley, cowering in the bushes as my blonde-haired wife is killing a snake? That would be bad. So then, preacher, she called me on Sunday afternoon. She goes, "I didn't want to say this in front of her daughter, but," she goes, "honey," she goes, "I saw another black snake, so I may be moving down to Florida real soon. I'm just glad those things are coming out while I'm not around." Amen? That's the only thing I know. And because I may never go back home if I see one of them boys, I tell you that right now. So you pray for my wife that she can become we're going to start a TV program. My wife's going to be the snake killer, amen. Let's see how much money, we're going to raise money for the ministry. And I'm just not going to let her go scuba diving and play with the stingrays, that's all. But anyway, I'm glad to be here, and thank you so much. Take your Bibles now, turn to Isaiah chapter number 56. Isaiah chapter number 56. Is this already on? Isaiah chapter number 56. We're going to read verses 8 through 11 this morning. The Bible says, Isaiah 56, verse 8, "The Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, Yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter." I want to speak to you this morning. I'm going to teach you on this subject, how to become an effective Sunday school teacher. How to become an effective Sunday school teacher. Let me just say this. These principles that I will teach will also help you to become an effective leader, period. I've learned this. Principles don't change, and principles applied will work. Our problem is we look for something new when God has all the answers already in this book. And the new is untried. The old has been tried and proven. That's what I want to do. I want to try the old. But I want to talk to you on this subject, how to become an effective Sunday school teacher. Father, take these next few minutes. And Lord, let me help your people. I need thy help. I ask the Holy Ghost of God, speak through me. Help thy people, I pray, to become better teachers, better leaders in the realms that they teach and, preach and lead. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. What an indictment against the men of God in these verses that we just read. When God chose to describe the men of God of this day, God says, let me use a dog as an illustration to describe these men of God. I looked at this and I began to think to myself, he's comparing these men of God to some dogs. And you can imagine in each one of these instances what it would be like to have a dog like this. For instance, he says his watchmen are blind. Can you imagine having a blind dog? A blind dog is really not too helpful. I mean, sure, you'll love it. Sure, you'll care for it. But a blind dog, I understand. I know dogs use their nose, but a dog has to see what's going on in order to protect you. And a blind dog doesn't really help. Well, God was saying that these men of God of this day, they didn't meet the needs. They were blind. They couldn't see the needs of their people. That wasn't all that God said about them. He said they are all ignorant. That's not a really good claim that God's given to these men. He says that every one of them, he says they're ignorant. Can you? Of course, we can imagine having an ignorant dog. Have you ever had an ignorant dog? Anybody like that? Yeah. How many of you have an ignorant brother or sister? How many of your spouse is ignorant? Anybody like that? But anyway, don't raise your hand, Brother Mars. But anyway, but you have to understand. God says now these are ignorant men of God. Now, that's sad. What was God saying? He says they don't know how to help people. That's not all. God says, he says right here, he says they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. You know, when you get a dog, one of the reasons why you want a dog is you want it to bark when someone's coming. Now, I have a dog. He's a Rottweiler. And when he barks, I mean, it'd be nice and quiet in the house. And all of a sudden, I don't know what he hears. Sometimes he don't hear anything. I think he just acts like he's hearing something. And he'll give out this bark. And his bark is not this little yap, 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 yap. It's a big bark. I mean, when he says bark, I mean, we're all jumping up, hitting the ceiling a few times. I mean, it's a loud bark. And when he barks, I always tell him, it's a good dog. Good dog. Because I want a dog to bark when someone comes to the house. I want them to know, hey, you come inside this door, you better have something else other than that clothing on, because you're going to be a meal for my dog. And that's what you want. You want a dog that barks. Well, God called these preachers a bunch of dumb dogs. You know why? Because they didn't stand up. They didn't warn the men. They didn't warn their people about the dangers of sin. They're more concerned about keeping people than they were preaching truth. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think we ought to preach to run people off. But you can't be afraid to run people off and cut back on the truth. You've got to preach truth. Truth has to be preached. And we've got, and you say, well, I've learned this. I've learned this over the years. I've been preaching now. Good night for, trying to think how many years I've been preaching. I'm trying to think how old I am. 28 years I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every week of my life for 28 years I've preached somewhere. Now, I've learned this. Some of the hardest sermons I preach, and I don't enjoy preaching the hard sermons. I get nervous. I get scared. I fight with God about it. But I promise you, every time I preach one of them sermons, them hot sermons, it's amazing how God will take it if you have the right heart, and God will use it to help the people. Just as a couple weeks ago, I was preaching a pretty hard sermon, and I saw two visitors walk in. You know how it is, preachers. It always happens to be that one that you decide to pull out the double-barrel shotgun type of sermon, and the visitors come. You're thinking, oh, boy, they'll never come back. And the visitors walked down the aisle, got saved, got baptized, came back that night. You know, you just have to obey God. Just do what God tells you to do. But here, these men of God, they were like the Joel Osteens of their day. They were like the Rick Warrens of their day, afraid to say anything that'd be offensive, and you can't worry about that. You just have to preach truth. Now, God says they're just a bunch of dumb dogs that won't bark. That's not all. God says that they're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. What does that mean? The men of God were lazy. They just didn't work. They were a bunch of lazy men. And God help lazy men of God. That's not all that God said about them. God said in verse 11, he says, yea, they are greedy dogs. In other words, here are these men of God. They were out for themselves. It was all about them. It's what they went into the scene to see what they could get out of it, not what they could put into it. And that's what God was equating these men of God to. Now, these preachers of this day were ineffective men of God. They were ineffective leaders. Because of their ineffectiveness, sin had gripped Israel. God had sent a judgment upon the land. They ended up going into bondage. Why? Because of their ineffectiveness in being the men of God that they ought to be. Now, may I say this? Every Sunday school teacher ought to desire to be an effective Sunday school teacher. You ought to desire that. You ought not to want to be like these men of God. Because let me tell you something. If you're not an effective Sunday school teacher, you will have a bunch of young people in your class that will end up going into, or even adults in your class, that will end up going into sin and ruining their lives. And that's not what we want. The purpose of the Sunday school is to help build people. And if we have ineffective Sunday school teachers, let me tell you, and truth is, and I hate to say this, I travel this country, Brother Owens travels this country, there's a lot of ineffective Sunday school teachers. They're just there just to do their time, and you ought not to be that way. Everybody who's a Sunday school teacher under my voice, and every man of God under my voice, you ought to desire to be an effective leader, an effective teacher, an effective preacher. No matter what you do, you ought to desire to be that effective teacher. Listen, you ought to just look at, let me just name three people who had an effective Sunday school teacher. D.L. Moody had an effective Sunday school teacher. You know why D.L. Moody believed in the Sunday school so much? Because his Sunday school teacher, he was just a layman. He had his own shoe store, and he led D.L. Moody to Christ, got him in his class, and D.L. Moody learned about the Sunday school through his Sunday school teacher, and that man was an effective Sunday school teacher, and thank God he was, because look at how many thousands of people were saved because of one layperson who is an effective Sunday school teacher. I think of a lady by the name of Daisy Halls. Daisy Halls was the Sunday school teacher of a man by the name of Dr. Lee Robertson. Now, most of us would know that name. Some of you may not. But she was an effective Sunday school teacher. Notice, one was a man, one's a woman. Isn't that interesting? You see, you don't have to be a man just to be an effective Sunday school teacher. You can be a lady and be an effective Sunday school teacher. And you just don't understand who you're gonna have inside your class. But here, this dear lady, she taught a class that morning, and Dr. Lee Robertson got saved, and the rest is history because of one teacher who is an effective Sunday school teacher. A great man of God came out because one lady took her class as an important thing, and oh, how everybody ought to desire to do that. I think of somebody else. I think of Dr. Jack House had an effective Sunday school teacher. Mrs. Bethel, is that right, preacher? Mrs. Bethel. Mrs. Bethel, she was the first, I mean, Brother Hiles, they called him Little Jackie Boy. He was just a young little boy. He grew up in a drunkard's home. Daddy was a drunk. Mama had to rear him. And he would come to church without his shoes on his feet. And he sat there one day. Mrs. Bethel picked him up and put him on her lap. And she told him, she goes, "Jackie Boy, God loves you." He said, "For the first time in my life, I'd ever heard that God loved me." And he said, does God love little boys who don't have shoes? She says, "Yes, Jackie Boy. God loves little boys who don't have shoes." Boy, there wasn't a man, I don't think alive, that ever loved people as much as Dr. Jack Hiles did because of one teacher. Was an effective Sunday school teacher. You know, the truth is, every one of us ought to be that way. But may I say this? You may not have another Jack Hiles. You may not have another Lee Robertson. You may not have another D.L. Moody, but you might have another great soul winner in your class. You might have another bus worker in your class. You might have another future Sunday school teacher in your class. You might have another deacon of a church in your class. You see, sometimes we get caught up on the great men of God, but you understand, in our church, Brother Owens, I think he alluded to it in the lesson, it's not just him, but there's a bunch of people who get behind him, and we together as a church
God has used us as a team, as a unit, to build that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It's a team, and it takes everybody. And everybody in our church, let me tell you something, is important to our church. And thank God there's some people who are effective Sunday school teachers that have helped these people grow, that we can help other people. And let me tell you something, this church needs that. Your church needs that. We need effective Sunday school teachers so we can raise an army for Jesus Christ so that people can say, hey, there's a place. I mean, they're not ineffective teachers. They're effective teachers. Everything they do, boy, great impact comes from that Sunday school class. Now, let me give you several ideas. I mean that several ideas. I don't plan on being lengthy. That means, ladies, we're going to be here for a long time. I don't plan on being lengthy, but I want to give you some ideas, some ways that you can become an effective Sunday school teacher. Number one, spend time with your class so you can see what they need. Spend time with your class so you can see what they need. You notice the men of God here in Isaiah, they were ignorant. They didn't know how to meet the needs of their people. You know why? Didn't spend time with them. Let me just be very honest with you. You will never see the needs of those whom you teach until you start spending time with them. Isolating yourself from your class will cause you to miss meeting their needs. You got to spend time with them. I remember years ago, I won't say what part of the country it was in, but I was in a church, and I watched this preacher for several weeks. He, in his church, well, I think ran a couple hundred. But right before this, I mean, he never around the people. Just never around them. Just right, I mean, he'd get to the church, go straight to his office. When time for service to start, he'd go straight from the office to the pulpit. When preaching time was done, he'd go right back to his office. Just almost hybrid. He never walked around and shook hands with people and howdy with them just a little bit. And I understand he had to prepare. But you have to understand, I never one time saw him with the people. He began to lose the hearts of those people. You know why? Wasn't spending time with them. Let me tell you something. You've got to spend time with those. If you're going to be an effective Sunday school teacher, you got to spend time with those in your Sunday school class. You say, well, how do I spend time with those in my Sunday school class? Let me tell you a good idea that you could do. How about getting to your class early and shaking hands with people as they come into class? You know, it's not hard to put the hand out, show your pearly whites, and if you don't have those, show your pearly gums, whichever one you have, and just shake hands and say, boy, it's good to see you. Good to see you. You see, if you don't shake hands before you speak, you have now isolated yourself from the crowd because people don't like it. There's something about it. And if you have a larger class, of course, you can't shake everybody's hand, but you can at least shake about 20% of the hands of people. You know, one thing I've noticed, Brother Owens and I, and you've seen us, when we come to our church, we don't come in 10 minutes late or 15 minutes late. Now, I did last night because I had too much alcohol. But no, but normally we come to, it was alcohol, I can't remember what it was. What was it? But anyway, you gave it to me, but anyway, but no, you see us, we get here early. Why? Want to shake hands, want to howdy. You know, one of the comments I hear around the country, people say, you know what, Brother Dominic, I really appreciate you and Brother Owens getting around, shaking the hands of the people. You know what? Your class members would appreciate you spending time with them, shaking their hands. Don't be running around all over the property. Get in your class and shake the hands and be there for your people as they come inside. You say, how can I spend time with them? How about this? How about hang around your classroom a little bit after the class is over. Now, I understand if you have duties in the church, I understand you might have to get there. But do what you can. Do what you can to stay after the class a little bit, howdy with the people as they're walking out. People appreciate being able to touch the one that's teaching them. How can I spend time with those inside my class so I can become an effective Sunday school teacher? How about visiting them in their home? Yeah. I mean, just a surprise visit. You don't have to go inside and stay a half hour, but you ought to get by, let them see your face. You know, one thing, okay, you know what? You know one thing that, I know somebody's probably going to get upset if I say this, but that's okay. You know one thing that makes us different than the Catholics? Catholic priest doesn't go out visit his people. I've had that said over and over again as I'm out sowing. People say, "You're a preacher?" I said, "Sure I am. Sure I am." They said, "Man, we've been going to church for years. We've never had one preacher come to our house. You don't even know us, and you'd come to our house?" I said, "Sure, why would you do that?" They say, I said, "Because I love you." They said, "But you don't know me." I said, "You don't understand. I don't have to know you to love you." I said, "I want your soul in heaven someday." Now you listen to me. You want to separate yourself from everybody in your church with your Sunday school class, you get around. Visit the members of your class and let them see you. Spend time with them. Hey, take them out to eat every once in a while. It might be at a McDonald's, but take them out to eat. Take them soul winning with you. There's nothing better to do than getting them out. Hey, why don't you come soul with me? You get to spend time with them. Hey, if they ask you, listen now, if they ask you to come eat at their house, then come eat at their house. You know, one of the greatest books that Dr. Hiles wrote is the, and Brother Owens, help me if this is the right title. I think it's How to Boost Your Church. Is that the one, the red and white one? How to Boost Your Church Attendance. Every Sunday school teacher ought to read that book. You see, a lot of times we look at Brother Hiles when he ran to 15 and 20,000. He couldn't go to everyone's home. But you know, when he built the Miller Road Baptist Church, he said in the book, he said, if somebody asked me over to their house, I would go. Yeah. Now, I think that church grew to 3,000 to 5,000 people. But he said, I made it a practice that when somebody asked me to come to the house, I understand you might, now you might have to get an appointment counter and say, sorry, you're not going to be until 2015 till I'm there. But that's okay. But you have to understand. But you see, your people, to them, it's an honor to have their preacher over to their house. And it'd be an honor to have their Sunday school teacher over to the house. Now, listen very carefully to this. And I caution you on this, don't do it too often because then you break that mystique between teacher and the one you're teaching. But if they ask you to come over, you ought to do that. You ought to go and visit them. Why? Because that is part of spending time with them. Don't get too big for those inside your class. So I said, number one, spend time with your class so you can see what they need. Number two, don't be concerned with perception. Don't be concerned with perception. You notice these men of God and Isaiah were very concerned with their perception, how people saw them. Now, let me tell you something. Don't teach to impress people with who you are. Listen. Don't brag about your accomplishments. They're not interested in that. I'm just being honest with you. People could care less what you've accomplished. Can you help them? Huh? You see, you can throw all the stats out about yourself and people just sit there, okay, let's get through this. Let's get back. Let's get on to what we really need. You know what I'm talking about. You say, well, they ought to care. Whether they ought to care or not, that's not the issue. You listen to me. There's too many people in our churches more concerned about themselves than they are trying to help the people. And let me tell you, let me just be very blunt with you. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about Alan Domley. It is about Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Somewhere we've got to get our eye. We're legends in our own minds. You don't believe us, just ask us. Let me help you put yourself in a perspective. Get a globe. Somehow find your city on that globe. And then put your little dot where you are. Am I helping you out? We're one dot in a whole world of billions of people. And somehow we get a class of 20 and we think we're something. Come on now. You keep your, let them build you up. If they build you up, then you've not done it yourself. But you have. If you constantly have to remind them how great you are, then you're not that great. I know you didn't come for this, but let me tell you something. Effective leaders, okay, what turns you off about politicians? Come on now. Not just their lying. That's a big part of it. But what turns you off about politicians? They're stuck on themselves. I mean, you look, we sit there and they talk about how great they are. You know, I won't say the name, but one of the things that was refreshing to me in one of the recent debates is one of the candidates apologized as a leader for him. He said, "I made a mistake." When's the last time you've ever heard a leader ever apologize for making a mistake? You see, people like that when somebody's honest enough to keep a good perception of themselves. And you, as a Sunday school teacher, if you're going to be effective, don't worry about your perception. Just, hey, let me just put it this way. Be comfortable in the skin of your own Christianity. Leisure number three. How can I be an effective Sunday school teacher? Study to improve yourself. Study to improve yourself. Now, I'm not talking about reading the Bible right now. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But let me tell you something. Reading books that will help you learn subjects is a great way to become an effective Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Let me ask you this question. How many books have you read in the past 2 months? I'm too busy. Come on. Really? You're that busy that you can't stop and read to improve yourself so that way you can help people a little bit better. One of the greatest problems in our society is we don't read. I got news for you. A command, one of the commands of God is this: give attendance to what? Reading. Not television, not video, not games. Reading. You need to constantly listen. I try my best, and I really do, and God knows my heart. I try my best to try to be up almost on every important area of our society, so that way I can help people a little bit better. I read books outside of my likes, so that way I can help myself, because I know somebody does like that area. And I might be able to help them a little bit better if I learn to study and read. Hey, just because you're out of high school, out of college, doesn't mean you stop studying. Life should be a constant evolvement of studying. Hey, be careful. But may I say this? When you read books, be careful about the authors you read. Not every author should be read. If they're a liberal, just kind of throw that thing aside. And I'm talking about liberal preachers. You say, who's a liberal preacher? Let me tell you what you ought to do. Go ask your preacher, do you think this is a good author I ought to read? Because he'll tell you. And if he says no, don't go through this whole thing. Well, preacher, can you give me a 20-point outline of why they're not a good person? Don't do that. Just trust him. He knows. I mean, there's a perception right there. But people have got to learn. But you got to study to improve yourself. But may I say, I said read books, but there's another way you can study to improve yourself. How about this? How about attending the weekly Sunday school teachers meeting? Yeah. You say, why? How am I going to study in that class? Because in the weekly Sunday school teachers meeting, Brother Owen said it, he teaches in that class. So you're studying in that class to make yourself, get this now, an effective Sunday school teacher. That's why you need to be there. That's why you need to be there. You check the teachers who don't go to the Sunday school meeting, and you check those who do. I promise you, those who don't go struggle. Those who do go have a better chance of making it. I'm not saying they all make it, but they have a better chance because they're learning. And none of us know everything. You know, I learn things from Brother Owens. I believe he learns things from me. I believe we both learn things from others as we travel around the country. It's just a collection of ideas, and we try to throw them back out to somebody else. But you need to be at that weekly Sunday school teachers meeting so you can become an effective Sunday school teacher. But there's some other things you need to study to make yourself better. Hey, why don't you take notes when people are teaching you? I had a preacher say this to me recently. He said, Brother Dom, he says, I don't want to do my assistant pastor. He said, I brought him to your, he says, I want the best for him. He's a good guy, but he never learns. He said, I've taken him to your old past Bible conference. He says, I'll sit there, and this man's been a preacher for years. He said, I'll sit there, and I'll be writing note after note after note after note. And he said, I got a 28-year-old assistant pastor who sits there and never takes one note the whole week. Now, you have to understand, You ought to take notes when someone's teaching. Hey, talk to other Sunday school teachers. Study them. Find out what makes them successful. If I was in this church, I'd be saying, preacher, what are you doing to make yourself successful? Hey, if I was you as a Sunday school teacher, I'd be, when Brother Owens comes to me, I'd say, hey, Brother Owens, what did you do in your class? What are some of the, so give me five things that made your class. You know, you don't have to say, give me the whole outline, but you can say, give me a couple ideas that would help me become a better, an effective Sunday school teacher. Everybody has something that they can teach you. Hey, let me tell you what else you can do. Study your pastor for ideas. Study your pastor for ideas. You say, what are you talking about? Oh, you watch your pastor. Let me tell you, my life has been a life of half of what I've learned has just been sitting there watching my preachers as they conduct themselves. I studied Brother Hiles. I did. I watched how he conducted himself. I watched how he carried himself on the platform. I studied that. When Brother Owens has become my pastor, I have studied Brother Owens. And I watch. And I don't sit there and let me analyze them right now. I mean, I don't do that, but I watch. God gave you eyes to be perceptive and learn and watch and ears to hear so you can learn. Study other men of God so you can become an effective Sunday school teacher. How can I become an effective Sunday school teacher? Number four, make your focus the growth of your people. Make your focus the growth of your people. Let me tell you something. An effective Sunday school teacher is one who makes the growth of their class members their focus. I love this statement. Don't use your people to build your class, but use your class to build your people. Huh? Listen. The whole purpose why God has given you a Sunday school class is so that you can teach your people so they can grow in the Lord. That's why we have Sunday school. Sunday school is that discipleship program that we have, and you grow people in this area. We're in the people building business, and that's what we're doing, and you've got to make your focus or grow your people. Number five, how can I be an effective Sunday school teacher? Be a hard worker. Let me tell you, you're just not going to be effective if you don't work hard. I'm just going to be honest with you that. You're just going to have to work hard. Hey, brother, hey, let me tell you this. Stop trying to find the great secret. Are you ready for the great secret? Are you ready? You sure? Here it is. It's really hard. Work. I know I'm not supposed to cuss inside a church. I understand it's a four-letter word. I'm sorry, God, but no. But I'm telling you, you know, we're going to all these places trying to find some little great secret. You know what it is? It's just a bunch of hard work is all it is. You're going to have to give up some, you're going to have to burn some midnight oil. You're going to have to get up early in the morning. You have to visit when you don't feel like it. You got to keep on going when you're not quite all there. I'm saying, hey, it just takes hard work. You got to keep on working hard and working hard, working hard and working hard and working hard. Hey, that's what makes you an effect. Hey, you don't have to be the brightest light bulb in the whole chandelier, but you can certainly outwork every other light bulb in that chandelier, and you'll outshine them all. And I'm saying the fact is you ought to be a hard worker. How can I be an effective Sunday school teacher? Number six, seek the welfare of your people and not your own reputation. I've kind of touched on this. But your class should not be about what you get out of it, but what you can put into it. Let me, for instance, don't always be looking for a pat on the back. How about you giving them a pat on the back? Huh? Hey, don't get upset when they don't give you a gift at Christmas time and every other Sunday school teacher gets that gift. What are you in it for? Listen to me. That podium that you stand behind in your class is not there for you to whine about all your little needs and your little, we don't have the money for this, we don't have the money for that. Let me help you out. None of us have the money for it. Huh? Come on. I'm fed up with a bunch of sissy britches fundamentalists who whine about, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. No one has it. Good night. I grew up in a preacher's home. I know what I'm talking about. I can remember 2 months as a boy growing up and watching my dad not one time for 2 months not receive a paycheck. And we just sat there, and as a family, we prayed the food down. We prayed the money down. And for 2 months, somehow God provided our needs. And when we didn't have any foods in the cupboards, God brought food in. You say, how? Tell you exactly how. We just decided, hey, it's not about us. We're going to try to help some people. We went and helped some people, and God provided the needs. Don't make it about you. Hey, seek the welfare of your people. Hey, how can I become an effective Sunday school teacher? Number seven, don't be a maintainer, be a builder. Don't be a maintainer, be a builder. Listen to me. Effective Sunday school teachers never look to maintain. Listen. Maintaining, I want you to listen carefully to this. Maintaining means you're dying. Yeah. For instance, do you realize you have to grow to stay the same size? I hate to say this, and I wish there was a way we could stop it, but sometimes those back doors are revolving doors, aren't they? And some of you men of God, stop beating yourself over the head. You're still growing. You're growing. So, Brother Don, we've not gotten over this number, but see, you've lost some people, and you've replaced them. You're growing. You're growing. And some of you Sunday school teachers, you go to your preacher, and you're discouraged. And preacher, I feel like I'm a failure as a Sunday school teacher. But hold on a second now. Look how many people you've lost. You're still the same size as you've always been, but you've lost all these people. That means you've grown that much. You know, one of the classic statements I hear from almost every preacher, man, if I keep everybody that I've had come through these doors, I'd be running 10,000. I understand that. That means that you're growing, though. You're growing. But hey, but may I say, that ought not to be your desire as a Sunday school teacher ought not to be maintained. You ought to say, you know what, I want to build this thing. Because you know why? If you have the building mentality, then you'll have the mentality about building lives as well. Which leads to number 8. What makes you an effective Sunday school teacher? Keep a vibrant walk with God. Keep a vibrant walk with God. Make your walk with God exciting. No, I mean that. I love reading the Bible. I don't know, and I mean this, God's my witness, I don't know when's the last day it's been. It's been years since I missed a day of reading this book. And I'm not just talking about reading a chapter. I mean a walk with God. I've got so many sermon ideas, I just don't know when to preach them all. We could be here all night, and if you want me to start preaching them, we could be here a long time. You see, but this book is an exciting book. Dig in the scriptures. You see, digging in this, it'll when you have a vibrant walk with God, it'll come out in your lesson. You know why your lesson seems dead? Check your walk with God. Come on now. Nod your head, slap your neighbor, act like you're awake. Yeah. You listen to me. There's nothing like it. I mean this. You said, Brother Dominic, I want to get some excitement in my lesson. Then study God's Word on a daily basis. Don't just read to read. I like what Dr. Tom Malone said. Dr. Tom Malone said, someone asked him, he said, Dr. Malone, how long do you read your Bible? He said, I read my Bible till my heart burns. That's what he said. You know? And that's what you need to do. You just need to read your Bible till it starts burning. And I promise you, Brother Owen said it this morning. I say often when I wake up, there's a resurrection service in my hotel room somewhere. I mean, it's not. I don't jump out of bed. Wow, boy, this is just a great day. I get out of bed and thinking, who in the tarnation set the stupid alarm clock this early? I'm calling them Southern Baptists and everything else. It's bad. That's my cuss word, by the way. But anyway, I got to go to that coffee pot. I got to plug the IV in and get the caffeine going through the veins. I open this book right here. I said, God, I need your help. And, buddy, by the time I'm done reading this book, let me tell you something. There are some great things. You just ask my wife how many times I'm done reading my Bible. Every day she hears about something. I said, man, last week I was saying something to my wife. I said, boy, I said, this was a great Bible study this morning. She says, honey, you always say it's great. It is. It's exciting. Hey, keep it fresh. Keep it exciting. Keep it vibrant. How can I become an effective Sunday school teacher? Keep your material fresh. Keep your material fresh. Let me say this. Constantly search for new illustrations to use. Now, you can use the old illustrations. There's nothing wrong with using old illustrations. People like that, but don't get lazy on that. Look for new illustrations. You say, well, how do I find illustrations, Brother Don? Let me tell you what you ought to do sometime. Go home. Just get everything quiet. Get a piece of paper out. Go back to your childhood and remember great things, you know, big things that stick to your mind, little events that stick to your mind, write them down. You say, why is that? Because that little event that happened in your life will be an illustration somewhere in some lesson. If you'll sit down and just think of every event that, I mean, just, you know, and you'll start adding to that because you'll start remembering other things. I understand you're not going to remember everything at one time. But you'll start adding to that. Then when you're studying your lesson, I need an illustration. You pull that piece of paper out. You start going, man, this is perfect. This is it. This is it. You pull that one out. Put it inside there. Now you've got a fresh illustration. And it keeps you, that keeps you, that effectiveness inside of your teaching. You see, you just got to have, good, keep your illustrations fresh. Hey, don't get caught in the same trap of just doing the same thing over and over and over again. For instance, keep your promotions fresh. Brother Owen stresses often, don't do the same thing over and over because people get used to it. You say, what do you mean? Change up how your award system. Change up your point system. Change up how you do it, but keep it fresh. Hey, keep your lessons fresh. Keep your illustrations fresh. Hey, how can I be an effective Sunday school teacher? Number 10, be an active soul winner. Be an active soul winner. See, soul winning always creates a fire inside the heart, always. Soul winning gives you compassion for people. Soul winning gives you a vision for souls. Soul winning will keep your Christian life alive. You see, let me tell you what soul winning does. It gives you new blood. They often, I don't know if this is true or not, because I don't give blood, because I don't like needles. See a needle, I pass out. But they say it's good to give blood because that way your body produces new blood. I don't know. You can try it for me. Let me know if it makes you feel any better. But you see, we got to have new blood to keep us alive. And soul winning gets us that new blood. It's like getting saved all over again when you lead someone to Christ. Because it reminds you, if you're like me, whenever I'm soul winning, I'm out soul winning, I'm witnessing somebody, I always tell them the illustration. I love talking about when I got saved. I do. I mean, I can't tell you how many. I've probably mentioned that. The one illustration that never gets old to me that's always exciting is the night I got saved, June 21st, 1973, Conway, South Carolina. You've heard me say that at this church time and time again. Boy, I just love. Why? Because when I lead someone to Christ, it just brings me back to that night and the fire and the excitement that happened inside of my heart. And boy, you ought to be an active soul winner. How can I be an effective Sunday school teacher? Number 11, be there for your class in their time of need. Be there for your class in their time of need. Shall we talk about effective Sunday school teachers will always be there for the class when they need you. For instance, when if they're getting married, you need to be at the wedding. If they're graduating from a grade, you need to be there for their graduation. If they're getting honored for something, it wouldn't hurt you to be there for an honor, even if they go to public schools. Hey, when they're in a heartache, you be there for them when they're in a heartache. When they're sick, you go visit them while they're sick. If they have a loved one that's died, you make sure you're there. You make sure you're there. Someone's died. If they're lonely, you make sure you get by and just be there for them when they need you. Number 12, learn to listen when they talk to you. Learn to listen when they talk to you. God gave us two ears, one mouth. Two ears to listen twice as much as we speak. Now listen. I've learned one way to listen is you look people in the eyes when they're talking to you. Huh? Don't be looking around. How can I get out of this? Look them in the eyes. Hey. Don't be taking phone calls while you're talking to people. Let it go to voicemail. Hey, listen, but not always having to put your comments in. Don't always have to one-up them with their story. They tell you a story they're excited about. Be excited with them. Don't one-up them. Nothing worse than somebody who always has to one-up you. It's like, is there anything you've not done? You know, their life's a loser. They're a loser, but they've always got a one-up thing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, you can say you jumped off a cliff. Well, I did too. I did that too. Well, would you please? But anyway. Huh? Listen. Learn to listen when they talk to you. Number 13, pursue your class members who are following sin. Pursue. You want to be an effective Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher, when someone goes into sin, your job is to go find them and help them back. Help them back. See, let me tell you something about people who fall into sin. They feel like the church doesn't want them anymore. The devil's lied to them. You say, well, they ought to just come back because they know we love them. I understand that, but they don't. They're not in that right mind frame right now. So when someone's fallen and they're in your class, you get by. You love them. You pray with them. You do everything you can. Put their life back together. You see, they're hurting. They need somebody. When everything seems against them, that says, you know what? I love you not because of what you've done. I love you because of who you are. I'll be by your side. I don't care what you do. I will be there for you. And I will help you get your life back together. Let me tell you something. When your class sees that you're there for them when you have fallen, they'll go to hell and back for you because you love them. How can I be an effective Sunday school teacher? Have a goal for your class members. Have a goal for them. You need to decide right now. What vision do you have for those in your Sunday school class? If you don't have a goal, you're leading them nowhere. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Every pastor ought to have a goal for his people. Every Sunday school teacher ought to have a goal for their class member. Number 15, disciple your people to become leaders. Brother Owens hit on this, and I'm not going to stay on it long, but one of your jobs as a Sunday school teacher is to train that person so that you can send them out to teach Sunday school themselves. That's your job. That's reproducing yourself. Number 16, be prepared. Be prepared. Be thoroughly prepared. You want to be an effective Sunday school teacher? Make sure your material is prepared. Keep your body rested and physically fresh. Hey, be prepared with dressing sharp. So what are you talking about? Your clothes need to be ironed. Men, your shoes ought to be polished. You ready for a word? Deodorant. Let me teach another one. Toothbrush and toothpaste. Did you get that, Brother Marshall? Just making sure. Two teeth? Okay. It's not hard, is it? But no, be prepared. Hey, numbers, two more. Number 17, be a steady example. You want to be an effective Sunday school teacher, be a steady example. The only time you're teaching is not when you're in the class. You're teaching 24/7. That's why you ought not to dress down. Casual wear can be sharp casual wear as well. Huh? Always understand. Hey, you know, I've learned this. It's not, you know, Brother Breelove, it's not the teachers who had the greatest charisma that are the best teachers that we remember. It's those who are steady, steady Eddie. They're there, in and out. Not a flashy personality, but they're steady. Those are the greatest Sunday school teachers. I've watched certain preachers. Brother Watkins, I've watched them, and, you know, some preachers, I kind of scratch my head. How does God use them? They're steady. They're steady. Hey, how can I be an effective Sunday school teacher? Number 18. I'm done with this. Have a long-term perspective. Have a long-term perspective. Let me explain what I mean. When they leave your class, don't stop being concerned about that child. Huh? It takes a team to turn a child out right. Let me illustrate who I want to use. What's your name? Eric, come here. I'm Eric's Sunday school teacher. I'm his first Sunday school teacher, right? Yeah, here's Prismite. So I start teaching him, and I start pulling him. You kind of fight against me just a little bit. Just kind of fight against me. And so I teach him for 1 year. We make some progress. Then I pass him off to Brother Price. Get up here, Brother Price. They're getting some weight behind this one. Keep on fighting. And so now I stay in touch. I have a long-term perspective. He's still fighting. He gets another year class. He graduates to the next class. Come here, preacher. We're getting the big boys in here. We just keep on. We keep that long-term perspective. And he gets through preacher's class. Get up here, Brother Mars. Yeah. And we're just working on this boy. See, every year, if every year the teacher just starts helping with this young boy, we start turning him out. We start bringing him down the right way. You listen to me. If we all work together, don't just teach him for 1 year. When they get out of their class, stay in touch with them. Love them. Be interested. I'll tell you this story and I'll be done. Thank you. You can all go back to sleep. Two of the favorite people in our church for my daughter. One is Mrs. Hart. The other is Mrs. Bajet. My daughter loves them because they taught her for 1 year in school. But when she left their grade, they still showed interest in her. I'd advise you not to say anything bad about them to my daughter. She'll sick my dog Bama on you. She loves them. You know why? After they were done in that grade, that teacher, it's not a job, it's a life we're trying to turn out for Christ. Let's have a long-term perspective of the students that come through our classes. Let's stay in touch with them so we can get them through this life and serving God for eternity.